grace, mercy, and peace be unto each of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is the gospel reading for this day from Matthew chapter 13. I read for you again these words. Jesus put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away." So far the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. Nobody likes to suffer. And yet we do. We suffer in body, mind, and spirit in many and various ways. And yet, if there's a purpose for the suffering, we endure it more easily and maybe even a little more gladly. Athletes bring suffering on themselves with the goal of increased performance. Someone undergoes surgery with the hope of restoration to health. Another endures some kind of therapy with the goal of regaining health and strength. Others, though, suffer for no apparent reason or purpose. That suffering is much harder to bear. Illness, disease, cancer, arthritis, aches and pains, a wayward child, the death of a loved one, and more cause much suffering, even for God's people. That's why St. Paul encourages us. "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." With the final goal of eternal life with Christ always in mind, we can more easily endure suffering. And still we may ask, why do I have to suffer? Well, Jesus provides an answer as he tells us about the wheat and the tares. You see, Jesus plants good seed. That is, he plants true believers in him. And that's you. But the devil plants evil seed. That is, those who follow him and reject Jesus and all that he has done for them. Because this evil exists in the world. Because evil people exist in the world. Because all creation groans under the effects of sin as it awaits the new creation. We suffer even as Christ's church suffers. And what adds to our difficulty is that we can't always discern the weeds or tares from the wheat. That is, the unbelievers from the believers. At times, we can't always discern between the good and the evil. And that's because the wheat and the tares look alike, at least in the early stages. It's only after they begin to mature and produce fruit that they can be distinguished. And the fruit of the devil's seed is toxic and poisonous. And notice, too, how Satan operates. He seldom utilizes a full frontal attack. Rather, he works under the cover of darkness, in secret. The evil seed he sows takes root without being detected. He intermingles his false church with Christ's true church. These unbelieving tares may appear to be Christian, but they have no regard for the Lord or His Word. These tares believe and teach that Christianity should, indeed must, capitulate to the society around it. This leads to all kinds of abominable teachings and practices. Indeed, Satan infiltrates the church with the ways and thoughts of the world. And he does it in such a way that those who oppose his way, that devil's way, are seen as the evil ones. So, what should be done with the tares, the weeds, once they're discovered? Should they immediately be torn out and destroyed? Well, that's what we would do, isn't it? Certainly, that's what the servants in the parable thought should be done. It reminds us of the time Jesus sent some messengers into the Samaritan town. When Jesus was not well received, James and John said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" Yes, if it were up to us, we would probably pull up the tares and destroy them without hesitation. After all, it would seem to lessen our suffering from their presence and their wickedness. But when the sower answers, he explains a different way. Indeed, he sounds much more like Jesus' answer to James and John. "You do not know what manner of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man came not to destroy people's lives, but to save them." That shouldn't be surprising, though. For through the prophet Isaiah, God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Yes, my dear friends, the Lord's way is a gospel way. Jesus' way is the saving way. And that's why Jesus tells us, "Let both grow together until the harvest." Now that certainly sounds strange, doesn't it? Let the tares grow with the wheat? And yet that's exactly what Jesus says. False believers claiming the name and blessing of Jesus are going to be around until the last day. To the eyes of many, they will look like a good, helpful, productive crop, and yet their fruit is deadly. But on the last day, when our Lord Jesus returns in judgment, the separation will take place, and it will be final. So, where is the gospel in this, you might ask? Well, here it is. Christ has planted his seed of his word in you, and has planted you as his wheat in his church and the world. And though Satan attacks with all his wiles, he cannot and will not prevail. When the Lord of the harvest sends his holy angels to gather his wheat into his barns, he will deliver his people into the safety and glory of his kingdom. You, my friends, are being kept for the great harvest on the final day of resurrection. You, who are made righteous through Jesus' blood, will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of your Father. And so the tares live among the wheat until the harvest. Why? Because Jesus is concerned for the wheat. He could bring his awesome judgment to bear at any time that he pleases, but he doesn't. He wants your salvation to remain intact. And there's always the hope that God's word would bring unbelievers to repentance and faith. The Lord Jesus, who paid for your forgiveness. Indeed, who set the whole world free from sin by his suffering, the shedding of his blood, and his death on the cross. He knows that you are weak. He's fully aware that although you are his precious wheat, you still do many weed-like things. He wants to spare you from being uprooted when the terrors of judgment is unleashed. The darnel seeds have an unfair advantage. Their roots are stronger and more spread out. If you pull them up, those roots will latch onto the wheat and rip them out too. Your Heavenly Father does not want that to happen to even one wheat plant. For even one true Christian scooped away as collateral damage is too much. So weeds and wheat wait together until the harvest, and then they are separated. Jesus has taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come." And so it does, even without our prayer. So it's not our business to identify and pull up the tares among us. That remains for the angels of the harvest, because the field, the world, and the harvest are the Lord's. Until then, we wait. And yes, suffer. Until then, we grow, being nurtured by the Word of God and Christ's body and blood. Until then, we struggle against the tares with the absolute certainty that on the day of harvest, we will be gathered into the Lord's barn. That's the purpose of your suffering. And the glory that will be revealed to you will shine so much brighter than the suffering you now endure. It doesn't make your suffering any easier, but it does give you hope. And that hope will see you through to the harvest. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.